clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good to see y'all this evening. Hope everyone's had a wonderful day. Just excited, as I always say, but it's really the truth. I'm excited what the Lord's doing and His many, many blessings. And just want to lift Him up and honor Him. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. As we open up our service, and as we say many times, just turn off everything that's distracting you right now. There's so many situations in the world, but we know an Almighty God that can handle each and every one. We just love Him. Just praise His holy name. May we be thankful in our walk with the Lord and just thank Him for all that we do. If you have a prayer request this evening, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, God knows and sees. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You. Lord, we thank You again for allowing us to gather in Your house this evening. Lord, we thank You for Your many, many blessings. Dear Lord, we just want to worship You. We want to lift You up. We want to honor You tonight, dear Lord. We thank You for this service, dear Lord, for giving us this opportunity. Lord, for everyone that's joined us, whether it be here live or watching on the feed, dear Lord, we ask now that You'll just touch each and every one. Dear Lord, there are so many situations that You know each and every one. Dear Lord, we're asking You just to bless our country, our community, our state, dear Lord, for those that are sick and shut in, not able to be with us, dear Lord, those that are recovering from procedures or surgeries, dear Lord, those that are lost right now, dear Lord, we're just placing them in Your hands, dear Lord, and we're asking You just to prick their hearts. Lord, let them find that altar of repentance. And again, dear Lord, now You've seen each and every hand that was raised. You know those spoken and unspoken prayer requests. And, dear Lord, we thank You now for touching each and every one, for healing, for protecting, for providing, dear Lord, for shelter. And, dear Lord, we just again thank You on this holiday week as people are talking about being thankful. Dear Lord, may we be thankful in our heart always for Your love for us and Your precious sacrifice. Dear Lord, we just love and praise You in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give Him another hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. Excuse me. It's good to see some that we haven't seen in a while tonight. Again, just welcome. While you're standing, turn to page 390. They were playing this a minute ago. There's power in the blood. You believe that tonight? Praise God, because the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. I got the choir behind me to crank it up.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
Y'all sound pretty this evening. Sound like you're ready for church. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. I don't have any announcements right now. Do we have anything that needs to be brought forth? All righty. Praise God. Thank you. Brother Thomas, if you ask the Lord just to bless our offering, please. Amen.
Uncommon man. He walked. When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, I see the black skies in my red eyes, I can barely see. And when I realize I've been let down by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me.
Everything. And when the sickness takes my child away and there's nothing I can do,
yes.
My only hope is to trust in you. I trust you, Lord.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor.
Little spell falls. He's a Sitting out this morning listening to your Sunday school, and the thought hit me. You know, we're all ministers of Christ. You know, not called to preach, not called to teach. But our number one job as Christians is to go out and minister, to go out and talk to people about God. People go, well, you know, I'm not as bold as you are about speaking to somebody. The Bible says we're supposed to pray to be bold, to stand forth for God, to speak about God. Jesus and His love. You know, and this is what I found out for me. A lot of times, opportunities presented itself to me. I didn't have to go out to someone else. They, for whatever reason, was drawn to me. So the opportunity come to talk about Christ. And I've said some strange things before, I know, when y'all hear me say, but just since I've been working where I'm working at, I have prayed with people twice at the door that's coming the door. And I never said one word to any of them. They come to me. And so I had a person there that was at work one day, and there's a lot of good Christian people that work where I work. We all know where I work, so I'm not going to say where I work. There. But one asked me one day, said, you know, you might need to be a little careful praying here. And I said, here's the deal. I said, as long as I'm not standing in myself, but everything is ordained and led by God, I said, what transpires at this door or in that back corner, God's got it covered. You know what I mean? Because, praise the Lord, because that was meant to be. That was ordained. You know? So, and being bold is not going to someone, but being bold is speaking to someone that is drawn to you. And so I thank the Lord for using me the way He has in being a tongue. We're going to try to... You got one picked out?
Your cries have awoken
okay.
The master.
Okay.
The disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but He was asleep in the stern. Does He not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called Him, said to them, where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master, and He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You cried out for help from the Savior, and you know that you can't give up. Because you prayed all night, cause you held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Now you're up there worried that He's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, cause soon He'll bring peace. Just one word from His voice and it all must cease.
Amen. Aren't you glad that God hears our cries? Not only does He hear them, but He answers them. Amen. He's always there for us. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I do want to make the announcements. I know this Wednesday is Thanksgiving Eve, but we will have the church open. I know a lot of people may be out of town, may be traveling, and that's quite all right. You may have your family or whatever. But I just open the church. We've been doing it for years and years, and just have a night of Thanksgiving. If you can come, that'll be a great, be wonderful. If you can't, it's understandable. But of any time, we ought to be gathering together and give thanks unto the Lord. So this Wednesday night, we'll be here at 7 o'clock for those of you that can attend, and we'll give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. How many loves the Lord in the house
Hallelujah.
Tonight? I mean, really loves Him. Let's do E flats.
E-flat.
I'll be all right. Brother Chris was talking about the blood of Jesus and Calvary. Amen. Some of my favorite subjects. How many knows that we're only here by the grace of God? Amen. We're only saved and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for the blood? Friend, don't worry about this heavy load I carry. And don't be concerned if it sends me to my knees. For I know a place where all my load will lighten. I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. If my feeble hands of flesh could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if He'll slip His nail-scarred hands into my hand, I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. Soon now, I'll reach the hill Golgotha, and I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from a tree. And if one precious drop of His blood touches me, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. If my feeble hands of faith could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if He'll slip His nail-scarred hands to my hand, I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. And if my feeble hands of faith could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if He'll slip His nail-scarred hands into my hand, I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. If He'll slip His nail-scarred hands into my hand, I'll be all right that I've touched Calvary. Are you thankful for Calvary? Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. So good to see you tonight. We appreciate you being here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Anybody blessed tonight? Praise God. What a blessing it is to know Jesus Christ, to have Him, His Spirit with, abiding within us. Amen. I do not want to take a trip. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I don't even want to say anything without the Spirit of the Lord dwelling within us. And how many knows He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of St. Matthew as we enter into Jesus' words in the 24th chapter, beginning with verse number 36, if you would. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse number 36. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word. In the 36th verse, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your amazing grace. Father, we're thankful for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray that right now, God, for just a little while, we'll lay aside every weight. Everything that's bothering us, God, we'll just get it off of our hearts and off of our mind. And God, and give you our undivided attention. Father, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, anoint this vessel, God, that you might speak to our hearts. God, that we might be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, we do pray for so many that are sick and suffering, God, and we pray for your healing power to touch them. But God, we also pray for so many who've lost in this world. God, we pray for so many who are seemingly unconcerned. And I pray, God, for a stirring of their hearts. God, I pray for a convicting power, Lord, to reach in and prick their hearts and bring them to an altar of repentance. God, to be ready, Lord, for that day that the Bible says there's no man that knows the day or the hour. Father, I pray that you would bring those into the ark of safety. Now, Father, just have your will and way in this service tonight, and we'll humbly give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Give Jesus one more hand clap of praise, if you would. Tonight, I want to bring a very serious message and entitle it, Be Ye Ready. Be Ye Ready. I believe there is an urgency in the air. I know that I have been in church a number of years, and I have heard that for a number of years. I remember as just a young boy sitting on the pews of the church and hearing my granddaddy preach about the coming of the Lord and how that we should be ready. And I believe that with all of my heart. And I know that our time is not necessarily God's time. But the Bible also gives us signs and warnings and things that point to and fulfillment of Ezekiel and Daniel and also in the book of Revelation, and things seemingly are coming to pass as the prophets foretold in the days of old. Things are seemingly getting together, and those Bible readers know that the coming of the Lord is soon at hand. Now, soon at hand in our time, who knows? It could be the day, it could be tomorrow, it could be years from now, but the thing about it is working, it is going into operation now. And I remember the preachers preaching. I remember as a boy, and I was thinking about this afternoon as I was praying and seeking the will of God, and I will be honest with you, I tried several times to get away from this message. And I would have to come right back to it. And you preachers probably know what I'm talking about. And I would try to get something else, and the Lord would bring me right back to this particular thought and this particular passage of Scripture. And so finally, you know, after a while, you just have to say, Lord, thy will be done. And as I was praying and seeking God and asking Him to reveal to me so that I could convey to the church and the congregation tonight the seriousness of this matter and the urgency that we must take to heart tonight. And I recall a time when I was just a young man, a young boy, and I had gone to the youth camp down in Barnesville, Georgia. And if you'll allow me just a little bit to reminisce, I think it goes hand in hand with the urgency that I feel within my spirit tonight. And I'm not trying to alarm anybody. I'm not trying to scare anybody, because my granddaddy told me a long time, scared religion is no good. Amen. You can't scare somebody into be saved, but you can love them. Amen. How many knows we can love them? How many is thankful that somebody loved you? And more thankful that Jesus loved you when He died on the cross of Calvary. I'm not about scaring, but I am about warning. I am about warning. And as I said in there, we had Brother Spear preaching at Anointed Revival. It was youth rally. It was a youth camp. Basically, we had preaching from the time after we ate breakfast. We went to classes and we had preaching that evening. Had a Holy Ghost rally. How many's ever been to a Holy Ghost rally? If you've never been to a Holy Ghost rally, you're missing out. I'm telling you, that's all they preach about is the Holy Ghost and it coming down and a bunch of young people, and it was great and wonderful. And then that night after we had our evening meal, we go down to the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a metal frame. And it had had canvas on the side where they would roll it up. And this is in the middle of the summer, so you can imagine how hot it was. The pews were donated from other churches. The floor was not carpeted. It was not hardwood. It was sawdust. Amen. And you can imagine the sawdust that was down around the altar. And Brother Spear was preaching, and I mean he was sweating bullets, and he was preaching about the coming of the Lord. And I do not believe that there was a young person in that tabernacle whose mind was not squarely on what the preacher was preaching, and their eyes fixed on God was a blessing him and anointing him, and he was delivering a Holy Ghost filled message. And he was preaching about the coming of the Lord and how soon it could be, and the signs of the times and the things that were transpiring in this world. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of his sermon, he runs to the edge of the tabernacle and he looks up into the sky and he says, "I can see the eastern sky splitting." And before he could even get back to the pulpit, there were young people hitting the altar. You could see the sawdust kind of just rise from that altar as people were hitting it. I myself thought that I was ready. I felt pretty secure in my salvation. But I tell you, that night when he preached the urgency, I froze in my seat. And God reminded me of that. I really felt that I was ready, but I was scared into almost a state of shock, because I actually honestly thought he saw the eastern sky split. And on my seat, I began to ask the Lord, "Please, Lord, make sure that I'm ready." And I left that youth camp with a new urgency. I never, ever want to feel that way again. Now, can I tell you, I've always been in the will of God? No, I've faltered and failed just like any other human being. But one thing about it, I have made sure that when the sun goes down every night, I want to make sure that everything is right in my heart. I know I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I know He washed my sins away. But I want to make sure I don't have any aught with my brother. I want to make sure that I don't have any ill feelings. I want to make sure that I don't have any unnecessary burdens that I take, because I want to be ready when the Lord comes. Should He split that eastern sky tonight, I don't want to sit in my pew afraid that I won't make it. I want to say, "Even so, Lord, come quickly. I'm ready to go by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the infilling of Your Spirit, Lord, by a brand new refreshing, amen, that came over me." God said, "Preach, be ready. Be ye ready." We find Jesus in the very beginning of this chapter. He's talking to His disciples, and this stirred me. He wasn't talking to a group of folks that didn't have a relationship with Him. He wasn't talking to a bunch of new converts. He was talking to His disciples. Those that walked with Him, those that had a relationship with Him. And I believe that everything that Jesus taught and spoke while he was on this earth was not only for the time that he was here, but it was for the generations to come. How many believes the words that he shared with the disciples are just as real for us today? That we should obey the words of God. And he was talking to his disciples, and he left the temple, and he was telling his disciples, said, Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Look at them. Verily, listen, I say to you, there shall not be left one, or here one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. Bible reference tells us that they came out of the temple and the disciples were showing Jesus the different buildings and the compartments around the temple. Kind of like we would if we were showing somebody the buildings on this particular piece of property. You might show them downstairs and you might show them the sanctuary here. You might take them out to the fellowship hall and you may take them down to the youth center and just kind of show them around what God has blessed us for. And can I just pause a minute and say, thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with this facility. It's not mine. It's not ours. It belongs to God. Everything in here has been anointed. The parking spaces have been anointed. The pews that you're sitting in have been anointed and dedicated to the Lord. They don't belong to me. I don't own them, but they're dedicated unto the service of the Lord, and I want everybody who comes in this building, that building, and that building to feel the love of Jesus Christ. When they drive up out there, I want them to feel the Holy Spirit moving in our services and abiding in our lives. The disciples were showing Jesus all the grandeur of the temples, and the buildings, and the niceties of all of that. Jesus spoke a prophecy and said, there's not going to be one stone left upon the other. Later on in one other place, he talks about it will be built back in 3 days. This was beyond the disciples' ability to comprehend. And we know that Jesus not only talked in parables, but he also talked in future events. He was referring then to his temple, the temple that the Son of God lived in. That it would in fact be torn down. That it would in fact be beaten and bruised. Every time I talk about the crucifixion, I remember Brother Jim's statement. As they beat him and the stripes tore into his skin. Every stripe that was laid upon him, Brother Jim took it personally. He said, one of those stripes was for me. If you really want to get sincere with the Lord, understand that he was beaten and bruised not for his guilt, but for our guilt, for our shame, for our sin, and for our iniquity. That's how much the Father loved us, to send his Son to go through all of that and then to be nailed to a cross, amen, and bleed and die for mine and your iniquities. Somebody ought to put their hands together for Jesus and let him know how much we thank him for what he done. Hallelujah. So wonderful to know that Jesus loved us that much. But he was referring to his own body. In 3 days it would rise again. The disciples didn't understand. Jesus then goes into this about the end time. They begin to question him. They come to him a little bit later. Have you ever heard something and maybe you didn't feel right about asking a question? I went through school like that. Teacher say, anybody got any questions? And nobody else raised their hand. I said, I'm not going to be the only dummy in here. I don't understand it, but I'm not about to be embarrassed and raise my hand. But sometimes when they would dismiss and go out, I'd ease by the teacher and say, now, what in the world was you talking about? I need to my daddy always have to say it. He'd say, understand me again. And I said, I need to know what you're talking about. Well, the disciples didn't really comprehend. And I can imagine Peter and James and John, you know, kind of looking at each other. What's he talking about? So they come to him a little later. They said, when will these things be? If Jesus had just spoken to you and told you, amen, that these things were coming to pass and that the end was soon coming, wouldn't you want to know about it? Lord, when are these things going to happen? And Jesus begins to preach to them. He begins to teach to them and begins to tell them. Not the exact time. Notice that Jesus did never ever gave an exact date or an exact month, and any prophet that tells you he's got it down is not biblical. Because the Bible plainly says no man knows the day or the hour. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the Son of Man be. as they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage and all of those things. When did they do it? Even up until the flood came. See, a lot of people think, well, the flood just came and swept them away. No, do you know how long it took Noah to build the ark? Years and years and years. And the Bible says he was preaching to the folks, be saved. Come in. You don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to die. Hadn't preachers been preaching for years and years and years? Come to the altar of repentance. Let Jesus Christ be Lord of your life. You don't have to perish. You don't have to live in sin. How many is thankful that we got a master, amen, who will love us. He was preaching and preaching, but it was falling on deaf ears, kind of like it is today. People say, oh, I've heard that all my life. Oh, I don't believe that. You better believe it. Amen. Just as the Bible is true and the Old Testament prophecies come to pass, so do the words of Jesus Christ. He begins to tell them. He said, but of that day and hour, no man knoweth. Angels don't even know. Nobody knows but the Father only. But can I tell you, the Father's not going to suddenly change his mind when that time comes. Come on, just as the flood was going to come, it eventually came. For years and years and years, it hadn't rained. And the people said, oh, that'll never happen. Noah's crazy. He's been preaching that same old message for years and years and years. Don't pay no attention to him. Do you know that we're called fanatics? Do you know we're called Bible thumpers? The devil has tagged all kind of names on us because Satan doesn't want you to know anything about the promises of God. He doesn't want you to know that we got a better place to go. How many knows the word's out? Glory to God. How many's thankful that the word's out? This is not my home. I'm just a traveling through. Amen. My home is eternal with the Lord. He's made a place that where He is, I can be also. And I'm longing for that day. But just as Noah preached, time and time again, you don't have to be swept up in the flood. Messages have gone out, probably close to being all over the world. There's revival going on right now in other parts of the country. America, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. God has blessed us for so many years, and we have had preachers, we have programs, we have had churches. We got churches on every corner, and there's people having church, amen, at a floor that's nothing but dirt and don't even have any sides on it, and they're filling up the churches, and they're glorifying and praising God. God's going to have a people. God's going to have a church. If America don't wake up, God's going to send out His blessings to somebody who will answer the call. So Jesus is telling the disciples, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. For as in the days of Noah, before the flood, everybody say before the flood. Come on, before the flood, they have a chance. Can I tell you, church, tonight, before the coming of Christ, you have a chance. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get it right. Brother Jim, I couldn't help but think, as the Lord was dealing with me, be ye ready, be ye ready, be ye ready. I almost had it, are you ready? That's a question, but it's more than a question. It's an urgency. Get it right now. Be ready now. For we don't know. And I was thinking about last night, Brother Jim and I went on a little hunting trip, and we actually stayed a lot later than we planned. And we talked about it, and when you're in a rush, how many knows what I'm talking about? You make mistakes, you do all kind of crazy things, you forget things, but usually we leave with plenty of time, and we can double check everything and make sure that everything is right. Let me tell you, the first thing I did, I forgot that I unhitched my trailer on my truck, and I drove the golf cart up on it, and the trailer hitch or tongue went straight up in the air, and I said, this ain't good. Thank you, Lord, for being with dumb people. And then it was just one thing after another. We were running around, and we had actually done some butchering on an animal, and we was trying to get cleaned up and looking at our watches and hoping that we got home and the doors wasn't locked by our wives so we could get in. But we made mistakes, and we left the charger. Now it's down there 2 hours away, and my golf cart's up here, can't charge it.
And I thought about, Lord, I do not want to run around like a chicken with his head cut off when that eastern sky splits. I don't want to run to the last minute and try to see if the church door's open. I don't want to try to call the pastor or the preacher and say, I'm ready now. Get the water ready. I'm ready to pray. I want to get it now, done now. I want to be ready. Because in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ye ready. We need to be ready right now. We need to live in expectation. Like the very next moment, he could split the eastern skies. And when it's like that, you can sleep at night. Man, and you're not frozen in your seat when the evangelist gives the altar call. Like I said, I had been born again. But I was kind of doubting my sincerity. I was doubting my commitment. Thank God that for His patience. Thank God for His loving kindness. Thank God for His forgiveness. I want to tell somebody something that you may not know. God will forgive you when you won't forgive yourself. I'm going to repeat that. God will forgive you when we don't forgive ourselves. And when God forgives you, He forgets it. Glory to God. I don't know who needed to hear that, but somebody needed to hear that. When the Lord forgives us, He forgets. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can still remember it, but it's forgotten by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Put your hands together for what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he says they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm not prophesying, but I can almost hear the voices screaming. Is this really happening? Is this what those crazy preachers were talking about? Why wasn't they more urgent with me? Why didn't they come again? Why didn't they call me one more time? Isn't it amazing how we can blame everybody but ourselves? And that's happened. That will happen, I'm sure. I'm so sure of it. And then they're going to think the opportunities that they let slip by. I'm not proud of the fact I put God off for so many years. I have sat in the church house and felt the convicting power of God and thank God for it, but it didn't do a thing about it. I was just thankful when the preacher shut up. I was thankful, Lord, don't let him give another altar call. Because I'm not ready. I'm not ready to commit. I'm not ready to be dedicated. I want to live for you. I want to go home and all that. But I'm not ready. I'm not ready to be dedicated. And that's the reason I sat on that pew. And real Brother Spear ran to the side of that tabernacle and looked up in that sky and pointed and said, I can see the eastern sky splitting. I know he was using that as an analogy, but I didn't know it then. He hit it so hard, I thought, surely, here comes the Lord. And I was frozen in fear. You ever had a dream where you couldn't move? That was exactly what was happening to me as I sat in that bench. And I said, Lord, please, I never, ever want to experience this again. I want to make it right, God. If there's anything wrong in my life, God, purge it. Create within me a right spirit, God. I want everything, the slate completely cleaned. Because I don't want to go through that feeling again. And thank God you don't have to, folks. You don't have to. Now's the time to get it right. And then he gets really specific. He says, two women shall be grinding at the mill, but one shall be taken and the other left. And again, that's an analogy. That doesn't mean every time there's going to be two people, one's going to be taken and one's left. It was an analogy. Sometimes we take things too literally. We were in a revival meeting at Brother Heber Hart's church in Conyers, Georgia. And there was it was packed. I mean, it was packed. That's a big, big church, probably about three times the size of this one. And preacher was preaching, and he was prophesying, and he was anointing folks. And I had sung that night. They had called me to sing, and I was sitting right on the second part of the pew, right about there where Sister Jenny was sitting, and my cousin was sitting on the very end, and I was sitting by him. So I had to get up and get out and go and to sing. So when I came back, he just slid over, and I sat down on the outside. Well, when the preacher was preaching, he was anointing and he was going out and he was laying his hands on folks. And he laid his hands on me and he's something to the effect that God's going to use you in a mighty way. God's going to bless you and anoint you and bless your singing or something. And on the way home, my cousin Julia said, I wished I hadn't slid over. No, God knows what He's doing, okay? Amen. His point is, if there's two there and one's ready and one's not, guess who's going? Come on. That could be a family member. That could be a spouse. That could be a child. That could be a mother. That could be a dad. That could be your best friend. But it doesn't have to be you that's left behind. And God said, tell the folks, you don't have to be left behind. You don't have to go to that awful place. There is a place prepared for those that love Him and that will accept Him. Then he says, watch therefore, for you know not what the hour your Lord doth come. But know this. When I receive that, it's not so important for me to know the exact day, the exact date, the exact time that Jesus is coming back. But what is important for me to know this, I'm going with Him. And if you don't know that, if you don't have that certainty, if you have that fear within you that I may not be right, and let me just go ahead and say, you're not good enough. I'm not good enough. Had we been good enough, Jesus wouldn't have had to come down on the cross. Somebody said it a while ago. Our righteousness is worthless. It's as filthy rags, the Bible says. But we need His righteousness. And He died so that we could live. Hallelujah. He bled and died so that I could feel that Spirit within me. So that I could know that my sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for that. But he said, know this, and that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up or broken in. He would have known. Case in point, what if the thief texts you? He probably wouldn't call you because we don't do that. He's probably a millennial, so he's going to text you or tweet you or Snapchat you and say, 6 o'clock Thursday evening, I'm going to be breaking into your house. What would you do? I know what Brother Thomas would do. He would say, all right, big boy, come on. I'm ready for you. He has an arsenal at his house. Amen. I have an Action 238. Amen. Do you think you would be watching? Why aren't people watching? Why don't people care? Why don't people understand the urgency? We don't know the day of their hour. I can't tell you the day of their hour, but I can say today, declare you, it's coming. He's coming back. He said He would, just in the same manner that He went away. And we need to be watching and be ready. Not taken by surprise. Not taken with a frozen fear sitting in our pew, hoping we can go home to be with Him. Now is the time to know with a certainty. Be ye ready. Be ye ready. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. If it was the next minute, come on, would we be ready? Is your heart, your conscience completely clear? Come on, it's not your goodness. Don't start thinking about that. Don't think, have I been good enough? No, you haven't been good enough. Nor have I been good enough. But have you repented? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you said, apply the blood to my sins? I am sorry. Not sorry I got caught. Not sorry you know about it. I'm truly sorry that I've sinned. Forgive me. Forgive me. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your spirit. Lord, I don't want anything here to hinder me. I don't want to run back and check my safe. I don't want to run back and check my annuities. I don't want to run back and check my grocery card. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to see if the door's locked. I don't want to see anything. When that eastern sky splits, I want to go up with Him. I don't need anything. Everything I'm ever going to have need for, He's already supplied it. But know this. If the watchman had been looking, he would have known. And he would have been ready. And Jesus carries it further. He goes into the next chapter. In the next chapter he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Not 5 virgins and 5 worldly vessels, but 10 pure vessels. And they went to the bridegroom. 5 says was wise. You know, when we hear the word wise, we think about book learning, about intelligence, but it was they were ready. Brother, had we been wise, we would have took more time and hitched that trailer up, wouldn't we? And we would have got the charger, and we'd got all that other stuff done, and we probably would have had to sleep in the truck when we got home, wouldn't we? Because the doors would have been locked and the garage doors down like they was one time before when I was really, really late. But we were a little foolish, to be honest with you. We was in such a hurry to get things done. God brought that to my attention just as clear as I'm looking at you right now. He said, don't wait till that time. Don't wait till somebody points and it really is the eastern sky splitting and I got to get things right. I got to do this and I got to, where's my Bible? Where's my, I got to do, you better be ready now. You better be ready now. And the Lord's done told me, He said, you know, you preach that and people are going to think if they come forth tonight, they're going to think they're backslidden. That's not what I'm talking about. Come on. I want a pure heart. I want a clear conscience. I know the blood of Jesus is applied to me, but the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Amen. If I've done or said anything that is hurtful in any way, God forgive me of that. I want to be ready. I got to be ready. If I miss heaven, I missed it all. Be you ready? Be you ready? No, we still got to conduct our life. God understands that and knows that. We're not going to be like those people that sold everything they had and went and got into a building and was ready. They thought that God was going to take the whole building back. That's not biblical. Man, He's not talking about this temple. He's talking about this temple. That's where He abides, is in this body of flesh. But how many knows that old body of flesh is going to go back to the dust of the earth? I'm so thankful. You pretty people probably not as thankful as I am, but I'm going to get a pretty body. Jesus. For so many years I've looked in the mirror and I said, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you have in store for me. Amen. Because it's going to be beautiful. Amen. Going to fit right in heaven. Glory to God. You're going to get one too, brother. I love my brother. Amen. I told him one time he's better than caffeine. Praise God. He keeps me awake when we're driving. I love him. And I hope he still loves me. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He said 5 of those virgins were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, a lot of times we think that the foolish didn't have any oil at all. But if you understand and read the Bible and know they had a little oil, they didn't have any extra. They didn't have sufficient oil. It's such a hard lesson, folks. Because we talk about the grace of God. We talk about His mercy and His overwhelming love. And all of that is true. But He has given us ample opportunity to get the oil, spiritual oil, filled up. Amen. My dad, bless his heart, when he used to get in the car with me and ride later on in his years, the first thing he would do was look at my gas tank. He said, son, You need some gas. I said, Daddy, it's half full. He said, no, it's half empty. He wanted to be ready. He grew up in a generation that there wasn't an Exxon on every corner. Man, you had to travel miles and miles and miles to get gas, and they was probably already closed. So he wanted to make sure that the gas tank was full. There's a beautiful analogy right there. Come on, I want the gas tank full, my spiritual gas tank full. Amen. If it leaks out a little bit, God, fill it up. Here's my cup. Lord, just pour it in, pour it in. Pour it in till it overflows. Glory to God. What does one fellow say? I'd rather get to heaven with too much than get there and lack a thimble full. Amen. And I know all of that is just analogy, but I'm serious as I can be tonight. Be ready. Be ready. What was the cry of the five foolish virgins? Please, give us of your oil. Not so, lest we don't have enough for ourselves. I love humanity. I love people. But you know, they can't go to heaven on my salvation. If that be the case, there would never be a son or daughter lost. Because the love and prayers of that mother and daddy would save every one of them. And you know what? God does answer those prayers. I believe that with all of my heart. Because sons and daughters have been saved through the prayers of mother and daddy. But it wasn't mother and daddy that saved them. It was Jesus Christ. Folks, I know you're churchgoers. I know you're Bible readers. But I also know we're human. And if there's some animosity, if there's something deep in our spirit, if there's something concealed, let's get it right. Let's purge it. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, if I'm unaware of anything, Lord, I want to be ready. I don't want any doubt in my mind or in my heart to know that when you come or call, because I was looking tonight, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but this was so heavy on my heart and on my mind. And as I know it was just overcast and cloudy, but it was ominous. And the Lord said, it's more than just what you're seeing naturally. It's the spiritual that you're feeling. That's the ominous clouds that I'm feeling. There's a lot going on in this world right now. And if you're a Bible reader, and if you read the prophecy, and you know that things are transpiring at an alarming rate, but that should not scare us. In fact, the Bible says, when these things begin to happen, look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. There's some folks today that are in church, and if you tell them your redemption's drawing nigh, it scares them. I'm just saying, don't be that person that's afraid you're not going to make it. Get it right. Be full. Be filled. Be committed. Be dedicated. Be faithful. Not to me, but to Jesus Christ. In a nutshell, be ready. Be ready. Don't wait till the last minute. If our music would come. I know, the devil jumped on my back with this too. It's that COVID thing. And we haven't had what you really call a sincere altar call in several services. I know we live stream, and I know we have prayer for folks that come up and need prayer. But when I grew up in church, there was an altar call every single service. Because there might be one soul in the congregation that needs to come to Jesus. And we want to give you that opportunity. While you stand tonight and while you reverence the convicting power that's in this tabernacle today, while you bow your heads, if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you'll go home to be with the Lord, you pray. Pray that if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice that needs to be more dedicated, that needs to reconsecrate your life, just to say, Lord, if I'm not aware of anything, if there is something, then I want you to purge it. Hallelujah. Can we do Where Will You Be? They used to sing this song, and it really, really stuck with me. It's just very simple words. But ask yourself this question. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy
As a pastor, I ask you this question. Where will you be? While they play that one more time, if you feel that urgency, if you feel that need to come down to this altar, we'll pray with you. God bless this. Some of you elders gather around. Would you pray? I want to be ready. Lord, I don't want anything here to hinder me. God, if I can't, if I miss heaven, Lord, I've missed it all. Pray, church. Pray. If you've got a loved one, if you've got a son or a daughter that needs to be born again, pray. Pray. Not only pray, but tell them, today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Come on. Pray where you are. If you need to ask Jesus to save you right there, the Lord will do it. Hallelujah. Where will you be? Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity?
The sky above. name, and you could call every name from here to yon. But if you've not come face to face with Jesus and His saving grace, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin.
Way.
Is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's an on-time God. He knows exactly what we need when we need it. And just thank the Lord for His Word tonight, for that, for allowing us just to be part of it. And for these prayers, and God's answering them right now, I know, without any doubt in my mind. Love each and every one of you. And as our pastor said so well this evening, are you ready? Is your lamp full? Do you have everything that you need? The Lord's providing it tonight. He's always giving it to us. That reassurance is one thing, but knowing that you know, as it was always said, praise God. So good to be able to be with us tonight. It's good to see y'all. Love each and every one of you. We just thank the Lord for you and for your prayers. And for those that are watching on the live feed, if it's still on, we just love each and every one of you too. If you have a prayer request, just put it in the comments. If you need someone to talk to, just let us know. If you need to hear the message of salvation, let us lead you to it. Just praise God. Because it's not us, it's Jesus. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. Love each and every one of you. I'm going to say it again many, many times. We love you. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Don't forget about our service Wednesday night at 7. Love to have you with us if there's any way you can join. For those that are traveling, those that are going to be out and about, we're just going to pray that the Lord will keep you safe, bring you back, and just to keep us all safe as we go forward. And just looking forward to a wonderful time in the Lord. Alrighty. With this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we just love you. Jesus, thank you for loving us, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, for just letting us feel your holy presence, dear Lord. As we prepare to depart, dear Lord, I ask for you to be with us, guide us, protect us, keep us back at our appointed time, but most of all, dear Lord, fill us with your Spirit completely, dear Lord, and let us be in tune with the direction that you would have us to go. May we be that vessel that you can use, dear Lord, about whichever way you would have us to be, however you want us to be, dear Lord. And we thank you for your many, many blessings. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Love y'all. Have a great evening. Praise God.